Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show. Talk Radio 790 KABC. And we are live in studio on this Friday evening, December the 16th. I pray you and yours are well. I've been doing radio for a few years, and I always am completely honest whenever I crack the microphone. And so let me tell you a very short story. I'm in the other studio. Frank Motek, as he often does, signs off, comes and bids adieu, says something very kind, and walks out. And I said, I don't know if I'm ready to go tonight. He laughed. He made a joke. And I would just tell you that I pray if you are employed, you are blessed to be surrounded by good people. Wayman, credible guy. Adam, I've gotten to know recently. Frank Motek, I've listened to for years. And I'm just grateful to be on this incredible radio station at AM 790 KABC. Something you may or may not know. Years ago, I began my radio career in 1985 at a rock station that still exists, which is 95.5 KLOS. And we shared a building. We used to call it the bunker. It was a small building not far from here, about a mile from here on La Cienega, with KABC. I had no aspirations to get into radio. I had a very serious motorcycle accident slash crash in 1984. And in the ensuing times of healing, I thought, I'm 28, what am I doing with my life? And somehow radio was always something I was very interested in, but I had no radio background. Truth be told, I wanted to be in movies. My father came out here from Cleveland as a lighting director, got a job at Universal Studios, and I spent some time on movie sets. In the 70s, my dad did Kojak and Rockford Files and Beretta and Ironside. I'm really dating myself, but let me get to the point. And I was mesmerized walking on a movie set or a television set. It's very exciting. And you see, oh my gosh, there's James Garner, right? Or whoever the actor of the day was, or actress. Yes, I still call them actors and actresses. But somehow, after I survived a motorcycle crash that I shouldn't have, I just started thinking about radio. Part of it was in the movie industry, and I had done some lighting with my dad. 18-hour days didn't appeal to me. Somebody told me, hey, you can do radio. 3 hours, you're on the air, off the air. And I'm thinking, oh, I like the way that sounds. You're a 28-year-old young man, 18 hours of work versus 3 hours of work. 3 hours sounds pretty good. So, very long story short, some things happened in a synchronistic way, and I began working at KLOS as a call screener. September 22nd, 1985 was my first day. As I grew into that position, I began to screen calls on a talk program on Sunday nights, and I would drive into work, and I knew the other side of the hall was KABC. And during that period of time, Dennis Prager, who many of you may know, did a program called Religion on the Line, Saturdays and Sunday evenings. And I would come into work at midnight, was the on-air position, and I would get in there about 9, 9:30, and I would listen to Dennis coming into work. Here's the point of I could tell the story for 30 minutes. Don't want to bore you, don't want to put you to sleep, but there is some point I'm trying to make here. I began kind of watching KABC from afar, and I started to work on the morning program there. Some of you listen to Mark and Brian. They were on air for 25 years. So I would go into work early during the weekday mornings. And there was a buzz across the hall. The morning show, the very first, I believe, were Ken and Bob, and it was Ken and Barkley. Then Michael Jackson, talk show host Michael Jackson, who just passed recently, would do his national program in the National Air Studio. And I would walk in late night on Sunday into the National Air Studio, and I thought, this is amazing. Nice couch, computer setup, technical stuff. You sit behind a microphone and you're Your voice gets blasted all across the country. And I began kind of getting hooked on talk radio. And at that time, KABC, which I believe, if I'm not mistaken, KABC was the first talk radio station. And so from afar, I was pretty envious of what was going on across the hall. Now, I had a good gig. I played music on Saturday nights. I was a DJ. I could tell you some funny DJ stories sometime. Some things you're never supposed to do. I did. We'll save that for another time. But I had a pretty good gig playing music, right? Doing a talk show, working on a morning program that was pretty popular at the time. But I just had it for talk radio. And I watched KABC grow to be the biggest, biggest, baddest, most incredible talk station in this town. In my latter days at KLOS, after doing talk for quite a number of years, the man that was in position of authority at KABC, his name was David Hall, he's still around, called me one day and said, I want you to fill in on KABC. And I remember like, whoa, all sorts of thoughts, I'm not qualified, really, excitement, fear, terror, all that stuff. And I did some fill-in work there. That was in the 80s. Here we are 40 years later or thereabouts. I'm back home in a matter of speaking. Now, we're not in the same building. We're about a mile over. But same thing. And here's my hope. If you listen to this radio station, you know there's something extraordinary going on here. Extraordinary is the word. And all I can tell you is, you need to be grateful for this radio station. The air personalities, the behind-the-scenes people, those that made this place possible, running during COVID. And my devout prayer is that it will once again ascend to the heights of what I saw this place initially become the talk radio station in town. Now, I know there's another one in town and you know, they've done well over the years, blah, 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 blah. Here's the last point of what I'm trying to tell you. So I've done my share of talk programs. The first year that I did a show on KLOS late night, people hated my guts. They hated me. I took over for a guy that was akin to being worshipped as a god for 10 years. And he got let go because of deregulation. They gave me the program. And all I heard for a year, hey, I don't like you. Where's the other guy? Or you're not so-and-so. And I sat and I took it 5 hours basically of commercial-free radio every Sunday night. I learned my chops. I had many an evening, many a morning after work. I drove home and I go, I'm done with this. There's nothing. And by the way, in radio, you know, very few people really make an extremely decent wage. And I used to think, man, it's not worth it. People call in, they hate you, you're a public figure. In the mid-90s, I've never said this publicly on the air other than when I was going through it. I had a guy try to kill me. And the story is pretty crazy. And in all transparency, I don't know if I put it in my book. I think I kept it out of my book for privacy reasons. But, you know, you crack the mic, anybody can listen. And at that time, a guy that saved my life, ironically, I've met in this station again, sits where Wayman sits sometimes. His name is Art Martinez. And Art saved my life one day. Guy came to the station. Little did this lost soul know that he was about to encounter a Marine. And let's just say Art didn't exactly put his arms around him and hug him. Then we had a trial and it was ugly. So all that to say this, I have a love-hate relationship with this medium. But I will tell you this, I'm in a season right now, I'm praying. What am I to do next? Do I keep doing Friday nights? Do I try to do something full-time somewhere? My heart is in talk radio. The very last thing I'll say is this. I will never speak ill of anyone that is in the same medium. But I will tell you, in the course of a week, I frequent and I listen to talk radio programs, and I surely don't want to sound like I'm holier than thou. But the majority of the stuff that I hear over the airwaves is just schlock and reactionary and just, I mean, look, here's something else. I'm just bearing my soul tonight. I don't have a college degree. I graduated high school. I went out in the world, wanted to be in movies, tried to be a pro basketball player, fell into radio. So I'm not preaching from, I have a string of master's degrees. But I think I can put two words together. I think I can think for myself, and God's given me somewhat of an intellect. And I just hear the majority of stuff on the air, and I'm like, man, this vehicle is so sacred. We could do so much to impact our community. And I'm not saying it's just me, but if you listen to this radio station, let management know how grateful you are for this radio station. Don't listen casually or passively. Listen actively. There are programs on the station that are doing incredible work in our community. And I don't know why I'm going to give him kudos because I'm late for a break, but I'll say this. My buddy John Phillips does a great job in the afternoons, especially hitting politics and calling people out. And I have no interest in you know, kissing up to John. He's been a good buddy for a lot of years, but you tell him I praised him on the air because he does a great job, and we are grateful to have him right here in Southern California. All right. So there's a monologue I didn't plan on. If you have any response, we're going to open the phone lines right now. Adam is the man you speak with before you get on the air with me, 800-222-5222. 800-222-KABC. Wayman is here. He's running the controls. I've got a ton of stories and commentaries, and we're going to get something accomplished in the next, say, 2 hours. And you are more than welcome to contribute and get involved. Something on your mind, call me. Something you want to share, call me. Something you want to take me to task about, call me. We've got a wide open board. We'd love to hear from you. 800-222-5222. 800-222-KABC. The phone lines are open, and we will continue with more of this, The Frank Sontag Show, Talk Radio 790 KABC. Thank you for joining us here on The Frank Sontag Show, Talk Radio 790 KABC. You know, being able to laugh at yourself is really important, and I just walked in the studio, and my headphones, my cans were sitting on the counter, and one of the ears just fell off. And here's something I had to laugh about. These are the same cans that I've used for got 30 years. I won't give them up. It's like my baby or something. Anyway. Hey, I love doing talk radio and I hate doing talk radio. Here's the deal. Again, everything I say, I mean, and I'm honest. Our board is dark. Usually we've got calls. So maybe I scared you all away or put you to sleep or who knows what's up. We are what, 2 weeks? No, less than 2 weeks from Christmas or the holidays, whatever you celebrate, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa. I don't know. It's a time of year where I have no Christmas spirit right now. I'm not sure why that is. Driving to work tonight. And if you ever frequent our freeways here in Southern California, and I don't think it's something that's always happened. What's up the last few years with speeders? I mean, people just blazing down 90, 95 miles an hour. Every time I'm on the freeway, there's some yayhoo out there endangering others in traffic. And coming to work tonight, I saw like three of them. But I don't know about the vibe in our culture. It seems like people are kind of on edge. Wayman and I were just talking about it. It's like we're holding our breath and hoping another shoe doesn't drop or something. And so all I can do is live my life in this day in the best way that I can. I signed off last week with a little bit of a monologue trying to encourage you Some of you email me thanking me. But again, I understand this is radio. There may be a number of you out there, you've never heard my program before. You have no idea what we do on Friday nights. Maybe you're like, hey, talk politics. Come on, let's badmouth some people. I got a guy at the top of the list I'd love to badmouth. His last name is Fauci. But I try to be constructive, too. For me, it's not enough to just lambast somebody. You're either part of the solution or part of the problem, and I try to be part of the solution. And if I'm going to bang on somebody hard, I better have a better way or a different way. And I try to do that on this program, telling you don't be a victim, even though the victim mentality is alive and well. Is this on? Maybe I'm not even on the air. 800-222-5222, 800-222-KABC. Yeah, man, life. It's just an interesting time right now. And I'll say this. I think part of what I'm experiencing is something I didn't believe would happen. Many years ago, I read a book called In the Absence of the Sacred, which no one has read because nobody reads anymore. And did I say a book? I actually went online last night trying to find a Barnes & Noble. Oh, boss is going to just pull me off the air. Get that dinosaur off the air. But I read a book years ago called In the Absence of the Sacred. The subtitle, The Failure of Technology and the Survival of the Indian Nations. And basically what the book was about, it wasn't petitioning, it wasn't arguing for pulling the plug on technology. What it was is it was saying in the public discourse, there is no balanced conversation about the negative, detrimental impact of technology. It's all, hey, it's the greatest thing and more, and it's just going to help you. And the author of the book argued about all the things that were, let's just say, not so positive to the impact on your life. I'm not a Luddite. A Luddite is someone that is anti-technology. I think technology is a thing. It could be used for good, could be used for bad. But my point being, I think we live in a time where we are on information overload. We're bombarded. It's an assault on our senses. And part of the reason why is we allow it to happen. I've seen studies that say the average person stares at a screen, get ready, 11 and a half hours a day. And that's just not sitting in your portal staring at your computer screen at work. That's staring at a little phone, the oxymoronic smartphone. 11 and a half hours a day where you just hit buttons and you scroll and you're just like spinning. Bombarded with videos and this and that, and 90-some-odd% of what I see is just, again, I don't want to sound arrogant, but just dumb stuff. And a lot of the dumb stuff has a lot of followers. Oh, my goodness gracious. Look at the board. We got basically a full board. I think we have one line open, 800-222-5222. So what I'm going to do is we're going to break in a moment, and then on the other side, those of you that are on hold will take your calls. We'll just do calls next segment. But we do have a line open, 800-222-5222. And please be patient. If Adam screened you, that means you're good to go on the air. Many years ago, I was talking about KABC, and only the diehards would know who Ray Bream was. Ray Bream did a late-night program, midnight to 5 or 6, forever. I was a left-wing, progressive idiot, and one night I decided to ring up Ray and try to just go after him on the air, and boy, did he put me in my place. But the point being, I remember sitting on hold, my heart was going 8 million miles an hour. Calling a talk radio program can be very intimidating. That's not who we are. We want you to call. We want to give you airtime. the opportunity to call and talk to thousands of people. What an opportunity. So anything, open phones, 800-222-5222, 800-222-KABC, and we'll take your calls next. Before we go to break, I want to share some thoughts about a very dear friend. One of my dear friends who I've known for, man, I don't know how many years, and true confessions, I've always wanted to be a rock and roller. I can't play a lick on guitar nor sing, but my good friend Craig Parker Adams, who has a brand new album out. In fact, here's a little bit of it. It's called Vistali Buell. And Craig is a songwriter. And man, this dude can play the guitar. Maybe you heard him on the program a few weeks ago. You can obviously go back to our podcast and listen to the entire interview and the entire broadcast. But this is a sweet rock and roll album. And with Christmas coming up, I can't think of a better Christmas gift, especially if you've got friends and family that love good butt-kicking rock and roll. You know, I'll let it speak for itself. Go to CraigParkerAdams.com. You'll see all the information about his brand new album, Vistali Buell. CraigParkerAdams.com. You will not regret it. Rock and roll is here to stay. The numbers to this program, 800-222-KABC. Dave, Raul, Tanya, Rick, and Deborah, be patient. We will get to you on the other side, and we have one line open, 800-222-KABC. We are grateful that you listen to this wonderful radio station. Thank you for supporting this program, which is called The Frank Sontag Show, Talk Radio 790 KABC. Talk Radio 790 KABC, welcome to The Frank Sontag Show. We are live in studio on this Friday evening. And we are going to take calls at 800-222-5222, 800-222-KABC, and we'll do that for the entire segment. I will tell you this, all of the calls on the screen are completely different, which is fine with me. So we're actually going to start with the top and work our way down. Line one is Dave in Pasadena. Dave, you're on the Frank Sontag Show on AM 790 KABC. Hello, Dave.
Hello. Yeah, Ray Bream was great, but that's another subject. My first radio talk show I called was in 1962, and I talked to Joe Pine from the bowling alley in Eagle Rock.
Wow.
From the payphone.
Wow, that's going back. I remember Joe Pine well. He had a TV show, too.
So when you're on the radio and you're speaking, I'm speaking. Because whatever you say, I might as well be saying it myself. I heard you once before. You're exactly along my line of thought. So that's a relief because talk radio is the only medium that speaks for me. The Los Angeles, I'm an excellent writer. I used to have stories published in the Los Angeles Times in my editorials and stories as well. They no longer publish my stuff because it's too conservative. They don't touch it with a 10-foot pole, no matter how well-researched it is or well-written. So that gives you the idea of our great media in the United States.
Do you remember a time, Dave, when, like, letters to the editor of the L.A. Times where you would read maybe, say, five, six, seven letters, and they were all completely different from all different ideologies?
Yes, I do remember it.
And now we get
20 years for that.
Yeah, now we get it's my way or the highway.
Exactly. I just hope that you have the real stomach for this type of work. I listened to your brief summary of where you've been, what kind of work you've done. And there's a guy on the radio right now, your contemporary, in another station. At this moment, he's on the radio. I won't say the station. This individual doesn't do any kind of research and doesn't know a subject, and he wastes valuable radio time. You've got such an opportunity to change minds and to do things, provided you do your research and spend your own time, personal times, studying your subject so you're well prepared for the show. And it sounds like you do.
Well, I do thank you for the kind comments. Tonight's program is at least starting out to be a little different. I've been in radio 36 years doing this. I'm grateful for you and what you shared and your contribution. And please know you are welcome to call anytime. And I thank you for calling tonight. Let's talk to, we've got Raul and then Tanya. Raul in Highland Park. You're on the Frank Sontag Show on 790 KABC. Hello, Raul.
Hi, Frank. Happy holidays.
You too.
Oh, thank you, sir. Yeah, boy, there's so much I want to speak to you about, boy. But, you know, there's an old saying, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. You know, I've been pondering, you know, Donald Trump, President Donald John Trump's defeat in 2020. And I think he blew it. You know, he was playing a CDC director. He was actually doing the job that Rochelle Walensky was supposed to be doing. He was, you know, on that, he was doing that, what do you call it? He had a term for the trying to find a cure to the virus, warp speed. And instead of being focused on the campaign and having lawyers at the ready at all 50 states, you know what I mean, for any kind of shenanigans that the Democrats are going to pull, because he knew, because I remember seeing a speech where he said this is going to be the most corrupt campaign ever. You know, he just lost, you know, they talk about the eye on the prize, you know. And he just, I think he blew it, Frank. He just blew that campaign.
So
he wasn't ready.
You and I can give our opinions, which really, with respect, don't mean a whole lot. But here's the question that comes to mind. So he was in office in the spring of 2020. We had no idea what was happening. We started hearing about this virus out of China, and he gets saddled with whatever. I could tune in and watch some of the news stations where they did the scrolling death-o-meter, which I thought was pretty despicable. But
yeah,
you're saying somehow he lost the election because he focused too much on trying to do what he could to navigate through COVID?
In all respect, I think that was Rochelle Walensky's job. She's CDC director.
Oh, yeah. She's done a great job. We find out all lies and all the nonsense she's done. Yeah.
Well, you know what happened, Frank? They really slapped the president in the face at the end because they didn't want to bring up the fact that they did come up with a vaccine. And they didn't want to mention that before the November election. They mentioned it after. Like, what was it, Frank? Like a week after they finally said, there's a vaccine. Oh, it's available now.
Well, no, he was people were taking shots before the actual elections. I appreciate the call. I thank you for it, Ro. I mean, it was just starting to get out, but people were taking a jab before the actual elections. And then things kind of ramped up in December and then January. And the next thing you know, we've got a new administration. I'll say one thing and then we'll talk to Tanya. Are you staying up to date? I wouldn't necessarily advocate being all that news savvy because most of the mainstream news is just pure propaganda anyway. But we're finding more and more stories about what was going on back then about censorship. And Elon Musk is now doing these big Twitter dumps and we're seeing some pretty nefarious things. Documents uncovering a secret Twitter portal by the U.S. government to censor COVID-19 content. We're being lied to in so many ways. I mean, then Jen Psaki recently said, yeah, we were in conversations with some of the social media folks like Facebook. Now the new girl, she's like, no, we've never talked to them. It's like, oh, okay, whatever you say. Let us talk to Tanya in Los Angeles. Tanya, you're on the Frank Sontag Show on 790 KABC. Tanya, thank you for your call.
Frank, I just want to tell you, this is the first time I've listened to you. I think I have heard of you on like Tucker Carlson or someone. You know, I know I'd heard your name before, but you are very enlightening. Yeah, I agree with you that I really doubt that election, past election, but I also agree that we need to look forward, not backwards. We need to come together just as you're saying, just as you're very enlightening, and I really enjoy your show and your history. I mean, I channel surf all the time because I'm in traffic, the 605 is H-E double hockey sticks type of stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, right. You've been caught on it. And, you know, I channel surf, just talking on the phone. But I just had to call in because I really am impressed. And I'm a news junkie, by the way. You know, any jazz musician should be. But thank you again.
Well, you've been very kind three times. You said very nice things. I thank you for that. I would encourage you to go to my website and at the very least get on my mailing list. It's just franksontag.com so you can see what I do outside of radio. And thank you for the kind comments. For the sake of being accurate, I've never been on Tucker Carlson. Although if I got a call, I would not turn it down. Let's just say that. Tanya, thank you for your wonderful call. Now, I know Rick in Lake Balboa has called before. Rick, you're on the Frank Sontag Show on 790 KABC. Hello, Rick.
Hey, thank you, man. Thank you. My, what does it say? Precedes me? What precedes me? So, I'm happy to be on again.
Thank you.
I was responding to your comment about you felt that the spirit of Christmas this year, in particular, or the last several years, has really been waning. And I will tell you my feeling this year in particular. Two things come to mind. Number one, the economy. People are hurting. We went from a phenomenal, we were prospering and flourishing as a nation. People were working. Gas was cheap. There was very little unemployment, and including in the minority community. We can go on and on and on. And, you know, the Democrats made sure that that wasn't going to continue because they didn't like the man in office. And I think that it is just frustrating to half of the population of this country that thought we could continue with that, but, it wasn't to be. So people are hurting. They're maybe mad. They're frustrated. They're hopeless, even in some cases. Secondly, and this is also obvious, and it sort of ties in to where the country is moving politically, it's becoming more and more secular every single year. And in this particular administration, you know, socialism, communism, there's no God in those political philosophies. The government is God. You take the spirit out of Christmas, what do you have left? Another buying season, another excuse for people to get to party and get drunk? I don't know. You tell me.
Rick, I'm grateful for your call. We will leave it at that. Thank you for calling tonight.
Sure, man.
I will say this. I'm going to talk to Mark in Cyprus, and then we'll break. Rick kind of ignited a thought in my head. In the next segment, we're going to read a story and play an audio clip. The CDC has removed data on statistics on using a gun for defensive purposes. It's a story you need to hear, and the audio clip will, if it doesn't get your synapses firing, nothing will. And that's next. But let me talk to Mark in Cyprus. Mark, you're on the Frank Sontag Show. Thank you for calling AM 790 KABC. Mark, how are you? Mark, are you there? There you are.
Oh, can you hear me?
Now I can, yes. Thanks for calling.
Sorry. Yeah, I started listening to you when I was working second shift. I had an extra job, and that was part of the thing you were talking about, Christmas. This year, there's so many things I'd like to talk about, but today I was going to say, yeah, like add to that one guy what he said. The Christmas here, I moved from the Midwest, and I didn't have any idea how it was here, and I don't like it, and I'm going to try moving back to the Midwest because ever since I've been here, it's been a struggle. I mean, and when you're worried about money, like especially people now, you don't care about a lot of other things like Christmas and things like that. And then just rude people, selfish. And then the thing with the whole masking and all this other stuff, they even said, you know, that fake doctor came out and said today that masks, she said, well, everybody knows masks don't work. And then it's like, well, what the heck was the mandate about the whole summer and everything? That's crazy. And then there's like 50% of the population in California are brainwashed or they're sheep and they just follow what the government says. And I think a lot of it's because they come from other countries and the culture there is just listen to the government, you know, and nothing bad will happen to you. And I wasn't raised like that. I was raised in the Midwest where we have individual thinking and we're self-sufficient. And a lot of the people here aren't that way, I noticed. And you're very self-aware. And I mean, most people here aren't. So that's pretty cool. I recognize that. And
well, let me jump in because I'm up against a break. I appreciate your call. And at the risk of getting calls from people defending themselves, you kind of did a broad stroke there about people living in SoCal being all the same thing, which I know that's not what you meant, but that's kind of what came out. I thank you for the call. I will validate something you said and lovingly challenge something else you said. I'll validate the idea of it's different out here, for sure. We moved out here from Cleveland. I've never quite adjusted to it. There is a, well, we don't have seasons out here, number one. If you were raised in the Midwest, you have seasons. When winter starts, you have to, by sheer necessity, slow down because everything is dying around you and you're snowed in, etc. Out here, it's like sunshine, you know, most of the time, every day, and hustle and bustle, and people are trying to get together and make it and all that stuff. So I get that. The area that I would lovingly challenge you on, I don't know, I'm not saying I do, but I suspect moving back to the Midwest now, this mindset is all across the country. Things have changed, not for the better, from my view. And I can say a lot more, but I want to be respectful and take a break on time. Thank you for the call. Next hour, we're going to talk a little bit about, well, Anthony Fauci's deposition lies. If you're just hankering for some of that, we'll hit that at the top of next hour. But when we come back, there's a story about the CDC removing data from its website on those that use guns for defensive purposes. We also have an audio clip that will really make you think. That and much more, 800-222-5222 are the numbers, 800-222-KABC. More of this, the Frank Sontag Show on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Thank you for joining us on Talk Radio 790 KABC. This is the Frank Sontag Show. Let me drop right in to the topic at hand. I got an email I'm hoping to address on the other side. A guy is taking me to task, but let me put that aside for the moment. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention removed data on guns from its website after holding a private meeting with gun control activists. The CDC webpage titled Fast Facts, Firearm Violence Prevention, includes a portion on defensive gun use or instances when people use guns for defensive purposes. The report is called Priorities for Research to Reduce the Threat of Firearm-Related Violence, indicated a range of anywhere from 60,000 to 2.5 million defensive gun uses each year. Now, the reason why it's been pulled, some quote-unquote activists got involved. Several weeks after the page was published, Devin Hughes, president and founder of GVpedia, emailed the CDC expressing concern with some of the numbers. He urged the CDC to revisit and update the defensive gun use portion of the website. Another person named Poe Murray, chairwoman of the Newtown Action Alliance, sent the message to White House officials. CDC said it came to determine that the initial listing of range may be outdated, quote unquote. Quote, CDC removed both numbers, the low and high estimates, from the fact sheet and acknowledged that additional research is necessary to understand defensive gun use, prevalence, frequency, circumstances, and outcomes. Yeah. Sure. We can get in who the activists were if we have time, but here's my point. We've not talked guns on the program. We hear so much whenever we have tragedies like mass shootings. Instantly, we start hearing about gun control, right? I have a men's ministry. Hear me out. We have a epidemic of fatherlessness in our country. It's become embraced by society as normalized now. Well, what are you talking about? You were just talking about gun violence and mass shooting. What does that have to do in any way, shape, or form with the topic at hand, Frank? Well, I'm glad you asked. Some of you may not know who Jack Brewer is. Among the many things that he does, he is the chair at the America First Policy Institute Center for Opportunity Now. He's executive director of the Jack Brewer Foundation. He was testifying on Capitol Hill recently. I want you to listen to what he says.
And going to the inner cities actively. So for me to be called, my ideas to be called idiocy and to be made a mockery of in front of the nation, you know, I know that I'm taking that persecution in the name of Jesus because I hear a lot of flesh talk. I don't hear any spirit talk. Spirit talk says that we cannot solve things of the flesh with the flesh. The things of the spirit must come in. When you pull a trigger and mass shoot somebody, you are spiritually weak. And for us to sit here as we look and see that 82% of people that commit mass shootings are fatherless, to not look at that as a root cause, to me, is idiocy. And so when we start talking about our kids, look at what's happening in our public schools. A lot of our public schools, kids are reading 3 and 4 grade levels below their proficiency. They don't have dads at home to hold them accountable. And so to say that that doesn't play in to why we have so much gun violence in our streets makes no sense. Go into the prisons and talk to the people who are pulling the trigger. I am here speaking for them because I serve them every day. And the reason, the only way that they rehab is through the word of God. We don't teach God in our schools anymore. We don't even teach the Ten Commandments. Most kids don't even know the Ten Commandments. And so they don't have a fear of God.
Wow. Now, let me kind of break that down in the few moments we have. And I always have the sense of making sure to clarify. If you don't know, I have faith. I am a follower of Christ. I don't share it a lot on the program, but anyone that tries to navigate through this insane time that we live, where evil doesn't even mask itself and has no faith in God, I don't know how you do it. I wake up in the morning and I'm like, I can't do this without you, Lord. I have a men's ministry. I think the greatest crisis in our country are men not being men. And we, again, have accepted fatherlessness is somehow normal now, where kids are being raised in homes without fathers and mothers. Oh, I got to calm myself. This is when I get really livid. Mothers stepping up and being mom and dad. Some of you are listening right now. You've raised your boys because dad decided to bail. And I'm not here to beat up fathers or men. Trust me, I have a men's ministry. We come alongside and teach them, hey, get up. We all do dumb stuff. God's a forgiving God. He has a plan and a purpose for your life. But get back out on the damn battlefield. God's a God of reconciliation. He made you a man. Be a man. You know, our governor, Gavin Newsom, is on record as saying the most dangerous word in English language, the most dangerous words are be a man. What is his flipping problem? We already know. Be a man is a problem. My 14-year-old is being raised in a culture right now where gender, what? Now, let me calm my emotions a bit because I want to get back to the point at hand about fatherlessness and what Jack Brewer was sharing. I am a man who was raised on guns. I gave all my guns up when I became a left-wing progressive. And now I couldn't be more adamant about one's right to embrace the Second Amendment and defend yourself. If you don't see what's going on in society right now, 2 years ago with all the defund police stuff, I don't know what to tell you. But you should have a right to protect your home and yourself. But it makes me sick when I see these horrible, violent, evil actions and mass shootings. And then the talking heads and the opportunists and the activists, they get on television and they start spouting all about gun control. And I love what Jack Brewer said. That's a fleshly commentary, and there's time for that. But what we're missing is these are spiritual problems. No father in the home. Don't get me going on the lack of discipline in a home. We live in a time now where parents are afraid of their kids. Doggone it. I don't want to sound like the old guy who walked 25 miles in the snow and all that other stuff. But doggone it, when I was raised, we were afraid of our parents. which is the way it should be, or even more so. We were afraid of God. Where's God now? I love what Jack Brewer said, and I hate it at the same time. Most young kids don't even know what the Ten Commandments are. And we wonder why we have the culture that we have, where evil doesn't even mask itself. One of the greatest frustrations in my life is God made us in his image. I believe that. Man and woman, male and female. He has a purpose and a plan for your life. And the way your life works is when you follow him and you read the Bible. Yes, I'm sorry if that offends you. Get over it. And when you read that book and you realize, oh my goodness, it's all in here. When we love God above all, Jesus was asked the greatest commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the greatest next commandment, the second commandment, is love your neighbor as yourself. But we live in a time where we love ourselves as if we're our own gods. So this idea, I'm so grateful for people like Jack Brewer who stand firm and speak the truth. And we need to talk more from a spiritual perspective, not this namby-pamby spiritual but not religious, where anything goes. No, from a biblical perspective. All right. 800-222-5222. We're going to start our second hour, Fauci's deposition lies and some stunning allegations. I got an email from a guy going, what's your deal? You haven't even mentioned the biggest news in the world about these Twitter files and the lies. And are you a guy that supports Fauci? And, oh, please, just listen to my program for a while. You'll kind of get what we're doing here. Last thing I'm compelled to say, we'll break and come back. I'm not a Republican. Ideologically and scripturally, I'm a conservative, but I'm not a Republican. Republicans and Democrats, it's like the old boys club. If you think the government has the answers for us, my friend, I would ask you to reconsider. We are the answer to our own stuff. We need each other. We better start acting like it. By the way, if you'd like to send me an email, not even mention the email address, frank@kmgministries.com. That comes directly to me. Numbers to call the program, 800-222-5222, 800-222-KABC. Hour number two is upon us. Thank you for listening to this, the Frank Sontag Show on Talk Radio 790 KABC.